Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
This is Youth Led Night, and I am so excited about Youth Led, because if you don't invest into the future, you're going to die old. And we're investing into young people tonight, but letting them lead, and I'm so thankful for that. I want to thank Brother Cameron and his sign team for doing an incredible job. Sister Lauren and Ashton for doing the music. Thankful for the people in the media and the sound booth and lights. And all of our greeters and ushers, thank you so much for helping us tonight. It takes everyone for the kingdom to grow. So if you're here tonight and you're like, I don't know what I need to do, there is something for you in the kingdom. There's nothing that you cannot do for God that he will not bless you for. Because we serve a great God. I want to thank Pastor for allowing us to have a youth-led night. That's a privilege of ours to be able to come up here and worship with you, lead you in worship, and talk to you and speak to you. And it's a great privilege. And I'm thankful for y'all for allowing us to just be here tonight for y'all and for accepting us, for allowing us to worship in our way. And I thank you for that. So tonight, we have two speakers that are going to come after me. It's Logan and Carrie. So they're going to come after me. So I'm excited to hear what they have to say. But tonight, I want to give a testimony. That's what I came with. I want to give a testimony tonight about God's grace and mercy. So, y'all, and everyone knows kind of what's going on in my life. And it's a journey, you know. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, and each day you take a step forward, and you take a step forward the next day, and you just keep moving forward, because if you ever step back, then the devil has won the battle, but you got to keep on pressing forward. So over the last 2 years, y'all have been the most loving church that anyone could ever ask for, and I truly mean that, and I appreciate you for doing that for me. But, you know, there's been rough days, there's been tough days, but you know, by the grace of God and every one of you, we have pressed forward. So, you know, from the beginning we started and, you know, Addison needed pretty much the machine to do everything for her. So, we've progressed. You know, there was a few times we had some step backs, but we've progressed. And we've kept on moving forward in her. She's been moving forward in her growth. So now she is 2 years old, so I am grateful for that. Came a long ways. So, but, you know, every little things that, you know, people might not see is encouragement to us that God is still working. Amen? So a few weeks ago, we've been making changes to her ventilator, and so we made a change. So we went to the doctor, and usually when you go to the doctor, they do a blood gas sample just to see how her numbers are going. So we get there, and her numbers were so good that the doctor decided to go ahead and make another change while she was at the hospital. So that's checkbox for God did another thing. So after that, they did another blood gas before she left, and the numbers were still, like, really good. So, you know, the doctor was excited about that. So they've made some changes to her diet and her machine. But here's where the good news comes in. The doctor said if next visit we'll do the same thing, we'll make a change before she goes to the doctor. And if everything is good there and her growth is good, they'll make another change. And if that is good, then the next step will be, after that change, was we'll do some trial sessions during the day where the machine doesn't breathe for her. She just gets help when she breathes. So, I don't know about you, but I serve a big God. I serve a God that is faithful. I serve a God that answers prayers. So, yes, it might not be tomorrow. It might be a year from now. I don't know. But that just lets me know that my God is hearing each and every one of our prayers. So I encourage you, whatever you're dealing with tonight, I don't know what it is, but I know a God that does. I know a God that sees right where you are. I know a God that knows exactly what you've been praying for, and he hears you. But keep the faith. Keep the faith. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's been a long journey. We've been on it for 2 years. But every little thing that is in progress in her life is a representation of God's healing power. God's representation that he's answering us. He's hearing our prayers. You know, you pray for miracles, signs, and wonders, but when you have to go through it, it's tough. It's tough. And I'm not no doom and gloom, but if you're not going through something, there's going to be something that's going to come along the way. And you're going to need something more than what you can do yourself. And sometimes we just got to get ourselves out. I got to get Tyler out of the way to let God do what he wants to do. So I'm going to tell you something. I have learned to trust him more than I've ever learned to trust him before. You know, and I've probably said this before, I'm going to say it again, though. Trust was a word that I always said, I trust God, I trust God. But until you really have to do nothing but trust God, that's when you really learn what trust is. And I have had to learn what trust is. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I'm perfect by any means. I'm not in that. I still struggle daily. But by the grace of God, I'm headed up. Because I'm going to tell you something. Our God never decreases you. He only increases you. He only is in the working power of increasing you. So if you're going through something right now and you feel a little weak, you feel like you've been stressed a little bit, when you're working out, you got to feel a little pain to get stronger. So let me tell you something. If you're going through something right now and you're feeling a little stretched and you're feeling like, you know what, I don't really know how this feeling is. Hey, let me tell you something. That's just you growing. That's you getting stronger in your walk with God. That's you getting stronger in what God wants to do for you. Because something is coming along in your life, and you're going to be in the right place at the right time to touch someone, to reach someone. That's what it's all about, is reaching others. Not keeping it to ourselves, but reaching others. About loving God and loving people. Sharing the gospel with them. Reaching them, touching them. And I am so glad that I serve a mighty God. A mighty God. Amen. So I just wanted to share the good news with you of what God's doing and just give you hope that along the way, if you're praying for something and you're like, I don't know, God, exactly, you know, when this is going to happen, he'll give you a little something to say, okay, you know what? I still got you in the palm of my hand. He never got rid of you. He was always there. But sometimes he just shows you something and says, hey, you know what? Hey, I still hear you. I know where you're at. So I encourage you, just keep on keeping the faith in Jesus Christ, and just great things are coming to you. Amen? Amen. Thank you for accepting us tonight. So Brother Logan's going to come right now, and he's going to share a good word with us. Y'all give Brother Logan a hand clap.
Good evening. I'd first like to thank Pastor and Brother Tyler for this incredible opportunity for letting me speak to you all tonight. I would also like to thank each and every one of you for coming, for taking the time out of your day to attend our youth-led service. Let's begin with the reading of the Word. Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So tonight, I'm going to be speaking on the subject, from worthless to worthy. There's once a man in the Bible named Paul. I'm sure most of you have heard of him. But Paul started out his life doing one of the worst things that I could ever think of. He was trying to persecute disciples. Paul was on a mission to arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem. Well, Jesus appeared to Paul and blinded him. But after 3 days, his sight was restored by the disciple Ananias. After that, Paul began preaching the gospel and so much more. So what saved Paul was the very thing that he was trying to destroy. Also, Paul became the polar opposite of himself, and he became an apostle. I don't know about y'all, but I just do not believe that that was a coincidence. I believe it was all God's plan. Paul let God use him, and that changed history completely. Another person in the Bible that I'm going to talk about tonight is Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, who were jealous of him because he was preferred by his father, and he was given a coat of many colors. So all but one of Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him, which is why they eventually ended up selling him as a slave. Joseph slowly made his way to go from someone that's hated by his brothers to the highest official in ancient Egypt to serve the king. Joseph had God's favor among him, and that's what led him to play a major role in the Bible. Joseph was able to help out so many people with his gift of interpreting dreams. He allowed God to use him, and that's what gave Joseph that opportunity to help those people. My last example tonight is a personal favorite of mine, Elijah. Elijah was just a simple man from Tishbe. Nothing that major was happening in his life, but one day Elijah let God use him and obeyed God on whatever he asked of Elijah. Eventually, Elijah had what I like to call the great prophet standoff. He said in 1 Kings 18 and 24, "Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God." So after that, the other prophet called on the name of Baal to set the fire, and nothing happened. Then in verse 38, it says, Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. Elijah allowed God to use him to prove that there is, in fact, a God, and that God is not Baal. It is the Lord. Elijah is still a widely known prophet to this day. He let God use him, and that one choice is what made him change that generation completely, all because of Elijah. You may be wondering what all of these stories have in common. Well, let me tell you. Each of these people in the Bible allowed God to work in their lives and became major parts of Christianity. Paul let God use him to turn his life around, and he helped out so many people by showing them what their dreams meant. Elijah let God work in his life and was able to prove God's existence in front of prophets of Baal. Each of these people went from being worthless and not really playing that much of a part in Christianity to being worthy and having major roles in many people's lives. These people are perfect examples of what God can do if you let him. If you give God everything that you have, he can turn it into so much more. God will take your test and he will make it your testimony. He will take your worthlessness and he will make it into worthiness. Some people will live their whole lives running from God and not letting God use them, and their life would just not have any real purpose at all. But I know a God who can change that. My God will turn your life around and allow you to do such great things for his kingdom if you allow God to use you. But God does not just want to make you worthy. He wants you to keep going, and you can be a part of God transforming someone else, and that process can keep going. And all of this started with that one change that you made. So how do I allow God to use me, you may ask? Well, first you have to establish a relationship with God. Now, I'm not talking about a one-sided relationship either, where God does everything without you even lifting a finger. No, this relationship has to go both ways, because if you are truly committed to this relationship, then you will commit to it by reading your Bible daily, praying daily, showing God's love daily. As pastor says, notify your face that you're saved. Every single one of you has a choice to not let God use you and live your life on your own, or you have the option to let God use you and mold you into his own divine image. I just cannot imagine living life without a relationship with God. Even if you do have a relationship with God, you do not have to stop there. You can always grow deeper and stronger in that relationship, and God will begin to do so many things in your life that you never even thought or imagined was possible. And even if you did not make that choice earlier in your life, that does not mean that it's too late, because it's not. It is never too late to allow God to use you and work in your life. But you cannot contemplate, because the Bible says that no man knows when God will come and take us all. So your plan may not work out like you hoped. So tonight I leave you all with a simple question. Are you going to settle for where you are in your relationship with God and settle for your plain life how it is now? Or are you going to establish a closer relationship with God and let him use you to do great things in your life and his kingdom? Thank you for your time. God bless you all.
Good job, Logan. Really liked it. First off, thank you, Pastor and Brother Tyler. It really means a lot that y'all thought of me. Okay, our biggest problem is right between our ears. The way we think and believe, it affects every aspect of our lives. When we say, "I've messed up so bad, how could God possibly fix what I've made?" We're not that powerful. We can't mess up God's plan. He already knew what we were going to do before we even thought of doing it. In fact, he planned around those mistakes so many years ago. The best part of all, none of us, not a single one of us, can exhaust his ability, resources, or power. With that being said, we're limiting the limitless. To help, God has given all of us authority. When we see a situation where a mountain needs to be moved, and we don't command that it move, we're limiting God. We have dominion over spirits. When someone we know, or even us, are fighting heavy spirits, and we don't rebuke demonic spirits and send the spirit of love, peace, comfort, direction, we're limiting God. God has given us tools to help each other. Yet, we avoid using them out of three fears. I want y'all to repeat this with me. First off, the fear of man. Second off, the fear of change. Third off, the fear of failure. To begin with, the fear of man. We fear man because we're addicted to their acceptance. As if they're so powerful. They're just man. We become codependent on flawed individuals when we need to become God-dependent. We become codependent on flawed individuals when we need to become God-dependent. If we're not impressing God, who are we impressing? People is not going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," but God will. It's not just us. The fear of man isn't just today's society. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. The Israelites fought the giants in the Promised Land. They ended up wandering the desert. Not just any land, the desert, for 40 years. That's some of our lifespan. They would have already had their blessing and a great, easy life if only they would have trusted God instead of their flawed minds. What a waste over a few unimportant, unnecessary people. And to think that there were people that died on that trip. There were people that never got to see the Promised Land. There were discouraged people that gave up and just left the group. There were babies and mothers on that trip in the desert. All the heartache and pain simply because of the fear of man. We need to listen to God and stop instead of limiting his hand in our life. All he's going to do is help us. Even the world fears man. It's not just Christians. They criticize us based on what they want us to become. People will persecute us with their words for living a godly example. They will try to dim our light and make themselves look higher because they know in their hearts that they are wrong. We should take that as a compliment. That's their way of saying we're right, that we're following the right path. Next, we fear failure. Did you know that the most potential is in a graveyard? So many people let their potential die with them because they're scared to step out of the boat. They fear failure. They let themselves limit God to avoid letting others see them fall. But here's the best part. We don't have to fall. Matthew 19 and 26 says, "With the fear of man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." If we would stop limiting him, God wouldn't let us fall. There would be no reason to fear failure. Also, we fear change. We get comfortable in the superficial when we need to live in the supernatural. God doesn't come in waves. He comes when we let him in. Our flesh doesn't like change. We have a hard time following what God asks of us. We fear change because there's different consequences. And because we haven't been there, we don't know the new consequences. But what if the consequences was joy, peace, love? Wouldn't we want to change? In fact, we'd be happy to change. God can give us all these and so much more when we let him be the main role in our lives. Yeah. Lastly, we refuse to have greater expectation. The most often way we limit God is by comparing ourselves to others. When our eyes start blurring, "Oh, I'm reaching old age," we expect the worst. We think, "Well, most people don't see miracles. I guess I don't have to either." We're children of the highest. If he's so extraordinary, why are we treating him like any other God? Jesus is absolutely astonishing. He made each and every one of us individual. That was on purpose, not accident. We are unique on purpose. Yet we spend so much time concentrating on those around us that we slowly take on their habits. Unknowingly, we could become just as sick, negative, and depressed as the rest of the world. And they don't even know God. We have to see ourselves succeeding. We have to visualize our success. We have to see ourselves being blessed. Greater the sacrifice, greater the blessing. When bills start overflowing, the first thing we do is lessen or even stop our offering. By doing so, we're visualizing ourselves struggle financially. We anticipate a financial fall. God has come to bless us. When all we have isn't even enough to eat, give and claim your blessing in faith. Guess what? God gave us faith. Don't limit him by failing to use it. We use our imagination for everything. What makes you say that? As humans, we tend to believe what we can see. Here's an example. I have banana and peanut butter. Some of you pictured a banana that is unpeeled and a jar of peanut butter. Others pictured a banana with peanut butter on it. We all picture the same thing in different places. We have to visualize our success before it can actually happen. Picture yourself buying that car, that house. Picture your parents and your friends and your children in church with you. Picture them saved. Picture yourself getting your kids back. Picture yourself succeeding. Every time we limit God is through our minds. So make it see the good. If all we think about is how we can get there, then we're not trusting God to take us. If all we can think about is what's going to go wrong, it's probably going to go wrong. Dwell on the positive and uplifting, because God is our positive and uplifting example that we are called to be like. In James 4:7, it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee." Not that he might, he will. He will flee. Stand on this truth, visualize the enemy retreating, fleeing as you command him to retreat. Now let's get truthful. The reason we are reaching people is because we see ourselves reaching people. The reason we're not retaining them all is because we're not seeing ourselves retain them all. Yes, all. Retain them all. We have God. We are more than capable of containing them all. I encourage you to come after service, come down to the front, and turn around and see every pew, every person sitting shoulder to shoulder, shoulder to shoulder, shoulder to shoulder. Picture the chairs in the aisle completely full. Picture it. After you're done imagining, start believing and claiming them in faith. We have to get to the point where we fear nothing but God, the point where thoughts from the devil and his voice doesn't faze us, where we are full of faith. And until we do so, we are still limiting God. Thank you.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.